Another one more contemporary, but with good sense and spirit to illustrate how wonderful of our God. Today I would like to share with you the scripture taken from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Today I would like to share with you a topic on put on Christ. Can you see the PowerPoint? Okay. The scripture are taken from the New King James Version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 1 to verse 11. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Here is the word of God. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as neighbor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not be escaped. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day shall overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of night and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Let's bow and have a prayer again. Dear loving Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today, this morning. And we want to worship you and adore your holiness. God, you are such a wonderful, powerful God, and you are the Creator, the only God in both heavens and earth. And your power not simply demonstrate through your creations, and your power also demonstrate by sustaining the universe and all the things. And your power can be seen through the love, through your salvation. So when we sing the song, Holy, 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 God, you are not simply an almighty God. You are also a holy God. And you are also a merciful God. And we experience all the love and faithfulness and compassion that in your begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we are saved and redeemed. And we are justified. Lord, we give thanks to you, and may all the blessings worship, praise, righteousness, and all our submission be upon you. And we ask your Holy Spirit this morning be with us and anoint your servant so that everyone will be empowered and enabled by your Spirit, so that we may know God deeply and love our Lord deeply. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think last week the most shocking news is the news that we heard from either TV or newspapers that there is a tropical cyclone attack Burma. When I heard the news, I followed the news through the CNN and also the Fox News. And this is so alarming. According to one British tourist who stayed in a hotel in Burma, in Rangoon, and he said there is no previous notice from the government or even from the hotel. And he slept at night and suddenly the storm came and broke the window. And he realized the cyclone is so severe. And if you know the geography of Burma, it's on the west coast of Southeast Asian country. Most of the tropical cyclone from the Indian Ocean, you know, sweep through the ocean to India. But this time, the tropical cyclone shift eastward. And people expect the tropical cyclone, when the storm reached inland, it lost, you know, all the source and power. But however, it bring great tidal waves. And according to the news, it's almost 15 feet high of the wave, the tidal wave. Came across upon the coast and swept away all the cities and villages. And according to official statistics, the death toll is about 200,000. But in fact, according to some estimate of the non-profit organizations who stay in Burma, the figure is 100,000. Can you imagine such a great disaster visited the country so sudden and took away 100,000 souls within 24 hours and left behind almost 1.5 million people homeless? So the storm is so big and so sudden. Well, we thank our technology today, of course, we can, you know, receive all the news very fast, almost instantly, you know, from internet news. But from time to time, we listen or we receive news of all the natural disasters. And maybe by that moment, it shocked us, you know, a little bit about, you know, the second coming of our Lord. Yes, this is very true. And that's why I share with you this morning from the scriptures, from 1 Thessalonians. Because according to Paul, he told us concerning the times and the seasons. What is the times and seasons refer to? It is the times and seasons referring to the days of our Lord, of His second coming. And that's why this morning I would like to share with you how we prepare, you know, ourselves to in the days when our Lord Jesus Christ second coming. First of all, from this scripture, we know that some people say in verse 3, when they say peace and safety, well, it is undeniable that our technology and science, the advancements of science, bring us convenience, safety, and modern life. But, you know, according to the people say, well, when they say peace and safety, what is the meaning when they say? Who is they? Who are they? They is referring to the people of this world. And according to Paul, he wants us to be alert. Don't simply rely on the people's words. They say peace and safety. Well, according to Jesus, he said, when our Lord comes again, it will like the days of Noah. And by that time, people eating, drinking, and marrying, simply living a normal life, just like the Burmese, you know, they still plowing their field, their paddy field. But the great storm approached suddenly. So they, it referred to the people of this world. And maybe they perceive this world by, you know, advanced technology and modern science, they provide us peace and safety. But however, it is not the case. According to our Lord, what he says, Jesus, he prophesied the time for his second coming. There are five key things from Luke chapter 17. He tells us, by his second coming, there are many deceivers appeared. That is, there are lots of false prophets, false teachings. And there are many deceivers. And we know from nowadays, there are lots of cults and all the false teachings. And some false teachers are very powerful and very influential. And maybe they have a charisma. But, you know, they are teaching some false teachings. And another sign is there is international tensions and wars. There are news about wars and battles. Besides, there are large scale of famines, great earthquakes, and all the pestilence. And also there are signs of fearful signs and great signs from heaven. And lastly, not the least, is persecution. There are lots of persecution among the Christians. All these are the signs of his second coming. And we know from the newspaper every day that these signs appear in front of us. So, don't just rely on people say peace and safety. We should take the teachings, the words of our Lord into our heart. Because the signs of his second coming is very clear and obvious. And according to the scripture taken from 1 Thessalonians, Paul used two examples to illustrate the second coming of our Lord. He said, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Anyone, your home have been broken by the thief? You know, in Richmond or in Vancouver, the crime rate creeping up, and there are lots of break-ins. And how about the thief? any thief will give you a previous notice. No, right? They won't give you any notice. And they come with suddenly and caught and catch you in surprise. And there are at least four signs of theft. It is sudden. It is shift. Very fast. Right? If your home have a alarm, and the break in, I once saw in a newspapers how the thief to break in your house. It's so quick and so fast. Just kick, smash your door, and the alarm is on, of course, after 1 minute, alright? And he bashed into your bedroom or your study room, grabs all the valuable things. He was so professional. I noticed that in TV there's some program talking about how the thief take away the valuable items from your home. It's so fast. It comes quietly, and also it is very unexpected. So all this referring the coming of our Lord is so sudden and so fast and quietly. You can't even notice. You don't expect it. And another example, Paul said, the Lord of the day of the Lord so comes as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. I worked in a hospital once, and I noticed that the labor pain of a pregnant woman is very painful, of course, and it is very unexpected for people, for a pregnant woman to deliver a baby. The pain is almost unavoidable. Even some people, some women, you know, chose to have the delivery with a cesarean sections under anesthesia. But actually, after the recovery, still feel the pain. It's unexpected, unavoidable. And also, the labor pains is a process. It's a process of pain and suffering. So Paul used this as an illustration to tell us by the second coming of our Lord, it is very unexpected and unavoidable. And it is a process that we need to grow through. But of course, if we are church, we will be taken when our Lord comes. And according to the scripture, it said, therefore, let us not sleep in verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep. You know, people sleep almost and everywhere. If you sleep when you drive, and you will have a serious accident. I remember once after the Caleb fellowship and the lunch, when I drove one of our members back to Vancouver, I fall asleep in the night on the road up to Vancouver. My car go into another link, but suddenly I wake up and I realize I'm on a wheel. So it's so dangerous when you fall asleep when you drive. And you know, people sleep. But of course, from the scripture here we read, it is not literally tell us don't sleep, stay awake. But you know, from the scripture, it tells us we need to be spiritually awakened. Those people who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So why people, you know, spiritually so unalert? Because they are blind. Because Satan used all the, you know, temptations and snares to cause them blind, so that they cannot see the blight, the light of God. So sleep in here, it's a spiritual sense. That means we don't have any sensitivity or alertness or watchfulness to the outside world. And this is very important. And Paul tried to alert us not to be asleep spiritually. But how to overcome our spiritual sleepiness? From the scripture that we read this morning, there are at least two. One, be alert or watchfulness. What is the meaning of alert? Alert is you state be awakened, and you should be very watchful. Just like, you know, you set the burglary alarm at your home. And the other thing is sober. Another meaning of sober is self-control. It's very interesting. From the NIV, the translation used self-control. But in King James Version, it used sober. That means you have self-awareness, and you are very sensitive, and you can control yourself, and you should have this kind of attribute. The other thing is you need to wait patiently. That is, the dawn comes very soon. And we Christians have a hope, a messianic hope, that the second coming actually brings us a complete salvation, a consummation of our salvation. And this is a messianic hope. And if we wait patiently, and when our Lord comes, and it will bring us blessings. Just like the parable of the 10 virgins, right? 5 of the virgins are, you know, not prepare herself. Not prepare themselves for the coming of the bride. And the 5 clever virgins, they prepare themselves with the oil available. So, wait patiently. And the other thing is, I think is very workable, is focus on your work. Focus on your Christian work. Focus on your Christian growth. And it will help you to stay alert. I have experience of doing some night work. When I still at my high school, I used to be a watchman in a hospital. And one thing, I find that I can overcome my sleepiness is stay away and get myself busy, to preoccupy myself to doing some work. Just like, you know, our colleagues, some of the my colleagues are a doctor or the midwives. They need to do some night work, and if that evening there are 3 or 4 deliveries, the doctors are so busy, and they won't fall asleep because they are so preoccupied by their work. So as Christian, this is the same. If we focus on our Christian growth and focus to, you know, to share the words of God with others or to do our testimony, if you focus on that, it will help us stay awake. So this is some of the suggestions that we can do by overcome our spiritual sleepiness. And here Paul said, let us watch and be sober. But Paul also said, he remind us not to sleep like the people. In verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. And when people sleep, of course they sleep at night, or maybe they feel tired, or maybe in the Sunday worship you fall asleep because the sermon is boring. But the thing is, if we want to be a strong Christians, according to these scriptures, it tells us two things. Just like the theme of this sermon, I said, put on Christ. But before you put on Christ, we need to put off something. Just like when you come to know Jesus, and when at your conversions, according to the scriptures, we need to put off something before we put on Christ himself. What things we need to put off? We need to put off the pajamas, the walk. No more sleepwalking. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it said, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And this is the thing that we need to put off. If you go to work, you won't wear a pajama, right? If you go to school, you won't put on your pajama. You need to put off your pajama before you go to school. This is exactly like this. We need to put off the spiritual pajamas. No more sleepwalking. And what is the spiritual the pajamas? That is the old man, the old conduct, and which is corrupted and according to the deceitful lusts. The other thing, we need to put off the pajamas according to the scripture, is that the pajamas of falsehood, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, all these are your previous conducts. And all these are the deeds of darkness that we need to realize. Before you put on Christ, before you put on the good conduct of a new Christian life, you need to put off the previous bad things. And all these will affect us. You know, just like the parable that Jesus told us, the son, the younger son, when he returned home, and the father, you know, embraced him, and of course, give him, you know, a clean shower before he wear the new clothing, right? He should put off his filthy clothing. If you are really a born-again Christian, you need to self-examine yourself whether you really put off your previous deeds of the darkness. And all these, like falsehood, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, all these are the bad conduct. And according to Romans chapter 13:12, it said, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. So this is the thing that we need to put off. But what things we need to put on? Okay. According to the scripture in the First Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 8, it said, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith." So it talk about putting on faith. I use this illustration, the parachute. When people fly on the sky and they want to have a skydiving, they should put on a parachute, right? The parachute that this guy wear for when he, you know, have a skydiving, he pulled the parachute and then he got safe, right? How about if the parachute doesn't work? He killed himself, definitely, right? So occasionally we heard some news that the parachute doesn't open, right? But normally the parachute will open. I know that after the 9/11, September 9/11, almost all the high-rise building, particularly the commercial building, there are parachutes available. Because if, you know, there are fire or a certain sudden accident arrives, and if people, you know, working on a high rise, parachute is, a safety a device for them. So putting on faith, just like people, you know, if you have a skydiving, you put on the parachute and it will save. You know, we human beings enjoy, you know, flying up high in the sky. And perhaps many people enjoy skydiving. But you know what? Many religions provide a false parachute. The parachute doesn't open. And because of the gravity pulling down, you know, the man from a sky high. And what is the gravity? The gravity is the wrath of God of our sins. If your parachute doesn't open, and you die definitely. And the wrath of God is so definite. So we need the parachute. By putting on the parachute of faith. And according to the scripture, what is faith? In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the whole armor of God. It said, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having gird your wrist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." See, from the whole armor of the armor of God, we know that many of them are defensive device, not offensive device, except the Word of God, that is the Spirit, is the offensive weapon. And you know, our Lord, from the scripture, it tells us we need to get ourselves prepared by wearing the whole armor of God and putting on faith. And the other thing from verse 8, it tells us, also put on love. Putting on love. What is love? In Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14, it said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And overall, these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, put on love. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. All these are the virtues, are the Christian virtues. And you may say, all these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You need to put it on. Put on this, just like you put on your clothing before you go to school or before you go to work. Putting on this means what? You need to show your compassion, kindness to all your fellow men, to your fellow, to your friends. And this is the clothing that we need to put on. Another thing, from here, it verse 8, it also tells us put on what? Put on hope. Put on hope. I find this picture is very interesting. A praying, a boy prayer and a dog also prayer. Hope. Put on hope. What is hope? Romans 8, verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groom inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. We are waiting for the realization of the sonship. We are the children of God. What is the adoption of the sonship? That is the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all, who hopes for what he already has. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it. We wait for it patiently. And that is the Christian hope, the messianic hope that the scriptures tells us. Putting hope. So, can you see the three important clothing that Christian we should putting on? Putting on faith. Faith is the thing, is the attitude or the attributes that we need to be connected with our God. Or you may say, by faith, we connect the redemption history that have been completed in the cross of Calvary. Putting on love. The Holy Spirit indwells in our heart, give us the love of God so that we can live today at this present moment. And putting on hope that we connect ourselves to the future, the coming of our Lord. So faith, hope, and love. And you, I think if you are quick in your memory, you remember the first Colossians chapter 13, right? Talk about faith, love, and hope. And among them, love is the greatest. Because love is, you know, pulling down from the cross of Calvary, that indwelling us by the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live among brothers and sisters. So, put on this. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Please turn to your Bible, Romans chapter 13. And this is a very good reminder to us. Romans chapter 13. Shall we read from 11 up to 14? The book of Romans, chapter 13, from 11 to 14. I think most of you using NIV, right? Can you read it loudly? 1, 2, 3. From my New King James Version, in 14 it said, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lust." And in verse 11, it said, "And do this, knowing the time," young people, knowing the time, "that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." This is a very interesting verse. It said, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." What is the meaning of this? If you become a Christian last year, or 10 years ago, is it because of this time referring? No. Paul said, the time for the second coming of our Lord is approaching, is so close. The messianic hope will soon be revealed in front of us because of these signs that we seen from the newspaper. Last week, when I gave my sermon to our elderly people in our church in Caleb Fellowship, I also referring these words to them. You know, most of our elderly people in Caleb Fellowship, several of them are over 80 years old. And you may say, well, in Richmond, the average, you know, the age is over 80. It is very normal. But when I talk to them and share with them in my sermon, out of my heart, I encourage them, grab the chance of being alive. From human perspective, they are 80 years old. They should join, you know, the heavenly choir. But how about you, youngster? Don't you think you have a lot of times, opportunities? Well, no one guarantee. Probably you will, you know, die sooner than 20. Right? No one guarantee. And here it said, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." And that's why we need to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. How to put on our Jesus Christ? We said put on Christ actually means putting on faith, putting on love, and putting on hope. but some suggestions, more practical suggestions. Put on Christ means think like Jesus, see things like Jesus, hear things like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and do things like Jesus. Not a complicated teaching. It's a simple teaching. Just let Jesus Christ, the Son of God, indwell in your heart. And when you come to every situation in your life, ponder a bit and ask yourself, if I come across this difficult time or come across this difficult person, how about if Jesus meets this difficult person, what will he think? What does Jesus think about this situation and this difficult person? And how our Lord see things and see this man? And how our Lord hear things from him? And how our Lord will talk to him? So if you have a mindset of our Lord, then you are really putting on our Lord. You are putting on Christ. So think like Jesus, see things like Jesus, hear things like Jesus, and talk like Jesus, and do things like Jesus. And this is the role model. And God himself, he set up a role model by his Son, so that we may follow his footsteps. This is not a difficult or complicated teaching. By the way, in our library, in a church library, there's a book called Think Like Jesus. I already purchased it. It's a very good book. It's worth for your reading. So I would like to wrap up my sermon by the First Thessalonians in chapter 5, 9 to 10. It said, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And this is the goal, the objectives, the purpose of our Lord, who saved us from sin. Our Lord doesn't want us or to appoint us to wrath, but to obtain his great salvation through his Son Jesus. So I hope this sermon will be a good reminder to our people here this morning. And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I commit all the sermon and the message in your hand. And may your Holy Spirit continue to indwell us and tell and teach us, so that we may bear your words in our heart and can work out our salvations by putting on faith, love, and hope. Lord, help us to put off all the deeds of the darkness and all the old men. Help us to put on Christ, so that we may think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and see things and hear things like Jesus. And may your Holy Spirit enable us to live a good Christian life, so that we can bring glory to God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, thank you again for today's message from Brother Toh. This is a very important message for you youngsters. Well, you are much, much younger than Uncle Edmund. But time flies. I still remember when I was at your age, I did not have a chance, or I did not have the chance to love Christ. And it's always only a tradition, or this is some academic requirement for me to study the Bible. But once you're converted, you love the Bible, because all the teachings of God is so practical. It's not just like a theoretical meaning written in literature. It is a very, very practical way that you can take it with you in your daily life. So today's message is really important. We do not know when our God will come. But are you prepared? As a matter of fact, you learned to prepare things beforehand all through your life. Just like when you were born, before your mommy and daddy take you out, they take the milk bottle, the pampers, the diapers ready, right? So when you started to grow up, you go to school, early in the morning you prepare yourself. You might take a shower, freshen up yourself, brush your teeth, and so on. How about examination? Do you study it? Yes, of course. If you don't, you are going to get something in red, not in blue. So as a matter of fact, all our life is teaching us that we have to be ready for something. Today's message is really important. Are you ready for the coming of the God, of our Lord, the second coming? If not, go home. Meditate what you have learned today through this message. Put it into action. And then we'll see you up in heaven. Okay, for today's reporting. So today is a very important event, Mother's Day. We're going to have the dinner. There's a meeting at 6 o'clock, and after the meeting, then we're going to have dinner at this hall here. Okay, so if you got your tickets, do come. If you haven't got your tickets, well, you can still come. But I don't know whether you're going to get food or not. Okay? But anyway, come to share with us the happiness of Mother's Day. Especially when you still got mothers to celebrate with. I'm not that lucky. Uncle Edmund's mom has gone 16 years ago already. Mother's Day is not always a very, very happy moment for me, because each time when I remember my mother, she's not around. So, but anyway, you still got a mother with you. You better to enjoy it with her. Okay, so, another important event is the coming Sunday gospel meeting. So I leave the time for Carol to give you some breathing.
Okay, just to start off, I would like to pose a question. What can't you miss, or what other things that you think you cannot miss? I don't know what might come up in your minds, but out of curiosity, I actually went to google.com, and then I typed in can miss. I just wanted to see what kind of search results would come up. Anyone want to take a guess what kind of results came up? No guesses? What was that? A buzz? okay, well, surprisingly, the first page that came up, it's the web menus. It's like a page that teach people how to make a website nice or something. And then other pages came up that are like, they include movies, perfume book, holiday show, charter bolts, which is kind of strange, I found. But these are the things that other people may think that they cannot miss. But if we were to ask the same question or answer the same question as, from a Christian point of view, we would have a very different answer. And next Sunday, we'll have a gospel meeting, and the topic will be the thing we can't miss in our life. And the speaker will be Pastor Yu Jian Hong. He'll be speaking in Mandarin, and then we'll have Cantonese translation. He's a scientist. He's got a couple of destinations in the chemistry field. And he became a Christian in 91 when he came to Vancouver to do some research work at UBC. So next Sunday, he'll be talking about the thing that we can't miss based on the Bible. So as usual, keep this gospel meeting in your prayers. Pray that brothers and sisters can invite more friends to come over to find out more about our salvation. And also pray for the speaker. And also the interpreter will be Pastor Hung, James Hung. And coordinator is Brother Arthur Wang from Mandarin Fellowship. And chairperson will be Ingrid. And the two Graces will be the pianist. And also Sister Nancy from Mandarin Fellowship will be sharing her testimony as well. So do pray for all these people, and a full list of prayer items should be in your hand. So when you go home, take out the sheet of paper and pray for this event. And pray that more people would come and find out the most important thing in their life. And also, there should be a copy of it, of the invitation card. If you know anyone who speaks Mandarin or Cantonese, do invite them over. And pray for the event overall, and also may God be glorified. So that's my quick announcement.